The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We're back. Second hour is live, and we'll head to College Station shortly. More on that. We had Sam Pittman on during the first hour, as we had a good conversation with him. Let's check in with Ron, who is in Iowa. Hello, Ron.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, you're talking about this NIL for the last few shows that you had. Why does everybody not want a kid to try to make a dime anymore? If somebody's making money, like going to college and whatever, why does people disagree and don't like this situation? If they don't make it in college playing football and or basketball or wrestling or whatever they do, then they got to go out and get a job just like everybody else in the real world. And there seems to be all sorts of jobs out there now. So let the kid try to do what his smarts tells him and let it go with that.
Ron, thank you. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that just have a view of college football in their head the way it used to be. And you know, a lot of us are slow to change. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along. And Trey is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Trey.
How are you doing today, Paul?
Trey, we are doing great. Thank you.
I was wanting to know, do you think that the Arkansas baseball team will win the national championship? And I have another question.
Well, you know, I did last year and found out I was wrong. I think they're certainly in contention. Right now, they're going to need some help. Somebody's got to get Tennessee out of the way.
Yeah. And then, you know, if Arkansas wins a national championship in football, we have well deserved it, because every year we've had the toughest schedule in FBS.
That is true. What Arkansas has to quit doing, though, is dropping the games they're not supposed to. Like that game against Auburn last year at home. That really was unsettling, how poorly the Razorbacks played in that game. Let's continue with more calls. And Eric is up next in Georgia. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Paul. I just want to say your conversation with Coach Pittman was just wonderful and uplifting.
Thank you.
Your questions were right on point. His answers were candid and honest. And if more coaches had his moral compass, the sport would be in much better shape.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And we talk to all the coaches here, and they're all different. But Sam Pittman is just genuine. He's like your neighbor from today, yesterday, or when we were kids. And you know, he doesn't try to tell you, I don't know about this, or I don't know about that, or I don't do this. He just answers the questions honestly. He even called himself out at one point. He said, you know, I think I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I mean, what coach does that, even though they all talk out of both sides of their mouth?
That was the part of being candid. He tells the truth, and it makes it so easy to root for his team.
He really does. I'm glad you said that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check out Archie in North Carolina. Hello, Archie.
Yes, sir. I'm a big Alabama fan. And I thought Bryce Young had a great season last year, but he just had an off game in the national championship. What was your view on it?
Well, Archie, I don't know if it was his fault. He was running for his life the entire game. His by the second half, his top two receivers were out, and he was trying to hit younger and less experienced receivers as he was being chased by all-world Georgia defenders. So I'm not ready to blame him for too much. But he is a great player, and he deserved the Heisman Trophy. Thank you very much. Eli is up next. Eli, good afternoon.
Hey.
How
you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
So I was just wanting to talk about, you know, like what a good job that Tiger Woods and Bubba Watson, how they did so good. But if they kept on, you know, practicing, how they could do so much better.
Well, I don't think anybody on the PGA Tour could do a lot more practicing. Those guys are out there early in the morning, and they're hitting balls late at night. So they're both, between the two of them, they've only had seven Masters championships. So those guys know what they're doing. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out TD in Georgia. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Got two questions for you.
Sure.
One is this NIL has no connection to the university, right?
Well, it depends. Sam Pittman, there are these collectives that are operated in conjunction with the university, yes. There are some that are directly connected.
Okay, second question. Who's paying all this money to these people? The same people that's been doing it all through the years?
Well, probably, yes. But what you have at every school is you have local business people, contributing X number of dollars. And then those are what I would call the collectives. You have individual businesses, national businesses with the big players. Depends on who they are. But
what about the boosters and the alumni, the touchdown club and all that?
Well, I think they're being pushed pretty hard to give money, yes. There's no doubt that who was it the other day that explained it? Every school is a little bit different, but you're talking about maybe another $1,000 to $2,000 a year from a level of booster that, it's already paying probably, a premium, whether it's a licensing fee or however they're doing it at various schools to be on a priority list. I mean, if you're in Alabama or Auburn or Arkansas or Texas A&M booster, you're not just going up to the ticket counter on the day of the game. I mean, you're ordering your tickets, you're paying a premium for them above and beyond, and now you're being asked to contribute even more money.
Right, real quick, I'll let you go. Real quick, Arch Manning, they talking about $5 million. Is that reasonable or possible?
I think it is reasonable. Based on the experts, and I don't know Arch Manning any more than you do. He's the biggest recruit to come out in memory, and he picked a good time to come out. So he's got the most valuable name in college football history, and he will command a very high dollar. Yes.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot. I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah. And again, what are you paying for? We had an A&M booster call in the other day. He said he gives, I think, $1,000. And what does he get for that? He gets access to the players, not like having them over for birthday parties of his kids, but get exclusive interviews, information. And yes, they will. There are many techniques available now. One of them is called Cameo, where if your son is going to turn 10 on Sunday, you can have some player, depending on what his price tag is, do a video wishing your son happy birthday. This company called me a while back, and I was really interested in just how they did it. And you could command, you could pay as low as $35 or as much as a couple hundred dollars, depending on who the athlete is. So your son or daughter, or your dad or mother or grandfather or grandmother can get a special message delivered. You can snicker. A lot of times you would think somebody might do that for nothing, and back in the day you probably would. But now there's a price tag on that. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll find out more about what's happening in Aggieland. Travis Brown joins us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, welcome back. And we're heading out to Aggie land. Travis Brown covers the team for the Eagle out there in the College Station Bryan area. And what, hey, Travis, it is great to see you. Thanks for making time. And what's been going on?
Not much. Just some windy days, some days that it's hard to throw the football in. But, man, spring ball, football's here, baseball's here. You can't complain about anything going on here in Aggieland.
Not at all. Well, let's go back to Saturday, and people never really know what to expect out of these games. We talked to Jimbo Fisher beforehand, and you know, he was certainly looking for something. What did you see, and what could have, and what was, and what was the reaction to what we all saw?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, of course, the thing that everyone is tuned into, the thing that people want to see is the quarterback battle, what those quarterbacks could do. Like I said, there was like a 30-mile-per-hour wind blowing. It was swirling in Kyle Field, so it was a little bit hard to gauge what they were able to do. But, man, the quarterbacks are everything that is everything in this offseason. And I think that it's a position that, because of the transfer portal, because of that number one recruiting class A&M has, they're in a much better place than they were at this point last year.
Break the quarterback situation down for all of us.
Sure. So you got Haynes King, who is the returning guy who won the job last year. He won it over Zach Calzada, but in that second game, or the third game, the Colorado game, he broke his leg and was out for the rest of the season. So he's coming back with a year of experience and a redshirt year of experience in Jimbo Fisher's system, knowing the terminology, knowing the language. They get transfer Max Johnson in from LSU, a guy who actually beat the Aggies in their last game last year. Damani Richardson, A&M safety, said there's some fun trash talking going on between Max Johnson and some of those defensive backs of, you know, if one of them gets him, deflects a pass or something, he'll say, yeah, well, I beat y'all last year. So that's been kind of fun to hear about that a little bit. But he actually was pretty impressive in the spring game, moved around with his feet a little bit more than maybe A&M fans were expecting him to, had some really pretty good runs there in the spring game. And then you got the five-star, the kind of heir apparent down the line of Connor Wegman, a guy that when Jimbo Fisher was kind of subtly asked about the Quinn Ewers thing over the offseason, if he would have gone after him, of course, the transfer from Ohio State to Texas, Jimbo Fisher said, no, Connor Wegman's my guy. He thought he was the best guy out of that class, and he was his guy all the way throughout that recruiting process, thinks he is something special. You know, I asked Anais Smith if Connor Wegman had his number called today, if the season was right now, would you have the trust that you could go out there and trust him to run the offense? And he said, yes, he would definitely trust him to run the offense. He said he is still in that process of making some rookie mistakes. Of course, he's an early enrollee and is still getting used to that college speed, but said he would trust him. So it's about a 2.5 horse race. I think definitely you have Haynes King as the front runner with Max Johnson close. And then we'll have to see what fall ball is to see if Connor Wegman can kind of get through some of those initial rookie mistakes and kind of get himself into that picture in the fall.
Travis, you've heard all the conversation about the pressure on Jimbo Fisher, although there really isn't any pressure when you have a guaranteed contract as much as he has. But with the great recruiting class that's coming in, he's had other good recruiting classes. This is his fifth year, and many are still saying, well, it's going to take some time. Why should anybody be patient at this point for Jimbo Fisher to make a national championship run?
If you look at what some of the other national championship programs, your Alabamas, your Georgias, the guys who have not only been winning college football national championships, but recruiting national championships, it's about stacking those recruiting classes. And don't get me wrong, Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies have had top five classes before this record-setting class, but I'm really interested to see where this recruiting cycle goes next year, to see what they can add on as this kind of hype is going on, no matter what happens on the field, and see if they can stack another top class on top of another top class or a top three class. Because when you get that depth, depth is something that Jimbo Fisher has talked about since he first stepped off the plane here in College Station, talking about having that SEC depth, and especially at the defensive line. And if you look at what they were able to do in this recruiting class on the defensive line and absolutely bolster that with just just five-star after five-star, then I think it'll be interesting to see as they develop. The four-year window of this recruiting class plus building on top of that is going to be the most interesting window that Jimbo Fisher has had yet in Aggieland to see what this recruiting class really is made of and to see where they're able to go from there. So I think the next 4 years is going to be, especially even the next 3 years, is going to be really interesting to watch.
Travis, you work for a newspaper. You have to be responsible to your editors and obviously to your readers. But I'm sure, like all of us, we've seen and heard the mud thrown at Jimbo Fisher and at this program, the accusations, some of them even coming from his fellow coaches like Lane Kiffin. How are you and your friends and colleagues and readers out there processing all that? And what validity do you put on what some are saying about the way things are being operated right now at Texas A&M?
I'm going to put it this way, because this is the answer that I've had to the $32 million question of what's going on with A&M's football program and what's going on in this NIL age. And here's how I've spun this. I know that administrators and coaches across the country have called for federal legislation on NIL so that there is uniform rules between the states and everything is kind of uniform when it comes to NIL and how that is applied not only to players on the roster but to recruiting. And so in the future, when that NIL legislation comes through, I would like to see, I don't have any confidence that would happen, but I would like to see as a clause in that that contracts that the players, at least here in Texas, the players have to turn in contracts to compliance at the university if they're going to do an NIL deal so that they know that it follows state laws. So I would like to see those contracts become open record, transparent, so that journalists like us in the newspaper can go in and follow and see what some of these deals are and see how much truth is in the in these rumors and what's being spread about. I think that that would be the next best step is more transparency in what's going on. Now, I know there's people, I've talked to a lot of people who said, well, it's none of y'all's business because professional athletes don't necessarily and don't have to disclose their contracts in that fashion. But it's a little bit apples to oranges because there isn't necessarily competitive advantages that we're talking about here. So do I think that there is a $32 million slush fund that's going to, no, I don't think that that is out there. I think that there was a lot of hard work done by Jimbo Fisher's recruiting staff. There's a lot of hard work done by the guys that they recruiting other guys. And you see what happens with a lot of recruiting.
Travis, if I could interrupt, and certainly I don't know, I'm just asking, but I've talked to people, well-known coaches who are throwing the mud, too. They're not just message board trolls. They're not just people on social media. And I realize you and I've covered a lot longer than you have, but you know, coaches that lose players, it's convenient to accuse. But the slings and arrows are coming from everywhere aimed at Jimbo Fisher right now.
Well, sure, that's what happens when you're on top. I mean,
Nick Saban and Kirby Smart have dominated recruiting for a long time. I haven't heard many accusations against them like I'm hearing against Jimbo Fisher. I realize the times have changed, but still.
Right, but they have been on top through the majority of the modern recruiting era. And so I think that the advent of NIL, with the advent of this thing being a little bit more on top of the table, I think that it's easy to throw arrows at kind of the new guy at the table necessarily.
I've been there. I know how great Texas A&M is, but what makes Texas A&M so special that they can just obliterate everyone else in recruiting now that we are in this new era? I mean, I'm just trying to understand that. That's all.
You know, I think it has a lot to do with the staff that Jimbo Fisher's put together. I think that it has a lot to do with – I don't want to say that the NIL deals, that there isn't that necessarily going on, because it's easy to see that A&M has one of the largest recruiting, or excuse me, largest alumni bases in the country, that there is people who are willing to jump on this NIL train. Now, do I think that they are supplying that directly to the recruits before they get here? No, but I think that there is definitely that message of there's a lot of people who want to throw money towards you when you get here in the right ways to do autograph signings, to do whatever it might be on above board in the NIL. But I think that it's just the next step in negative recruiting and in the recruiting battles that the coaches have, that they want to try to talk these things up like this and try to dissuade people from going to different places, because that's just the next step in this process.
So Travis, finally, just an opinion here. Is it your best guess right now, based on your knowledge of the area and your reporting, that what Texas A&M is currently doing and has done is legitimate?
I think from every conversation that I've been able to have, there certainly isn't any indication that they've done anything that is illegal. They haven't enticed players to come with money. I think that the pitch is pretty heavy that if you do come to Texas A&M, there is an alumni base, there is what they call the Aggie Network, that is willing to support their student athletes. And I'm certain that that is a part of the pitch. I mean, Ross Bjork had a NIL town hall that was open to the public before the spring game to start talking to businesses and get them involved with how they can give money and support the athletes through NIL. So I'm certain that that is part of pitch, and I'm certain that they are showing how much money and how many donors are giving there. But from every indication that I've heard and talked to people, there isn't anything that is money changing hands early or a pay-for-play type scenario coming into A&M, no.
Travis Brown from the Eagle, great job. Travis, thanks for making time. It's always good to have a conversation like this with a journalist, and we appreciate it and hope you'll come back.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break. We have a lot more to do. We started with Sam Pittman, Travis joining us. We have Griff later on. So the circus is still an hour and a half away. We are coming back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And thanks for being a part of the program here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's get right to the calls. And Johnny is up next. Hello, Johnny.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We're doing great.
I've been a big fan of yours since your Post-Herald days.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I have to tell you, your editorial sense and the way you attacked the journalist about a few minutes ago was right on. Nobody in America believes Jimbo Fisher. I'm sorry. The guy had 4 or 5 stars in the 4 years prior to NIL. NIL comes in, he gets 7. And nobody's going to make me believe that his staff suddenly outworked Kirby Smart staff, Nick Saban's staff and all the other guys when they weren't able to do it before NIL. And, you know, there's a, so, you know, don't, you know, pee in my ear and tell me it's raining. Because I'm sorry, the dude is, you know, he's off his rocker if he wants America to believe that he didn't buy this recruiting class. And it's going to, I mean, look, I love NIL. I think it's I love the fact that the Alabama quarterback can make $1 million in a year. And because, look, these kids put their time in. They don't have any guaranteed futures in the NFL or the NBA or anything else. So if a kid comes to college and they've got a big Twitter following and they've got all these other things and they can make money on their name, image, and likeness, all for it. And I've also said that the rich are going to get richer. If you're a quarterback at Alabama, you're worth more money than the quarterback at Auburn. You're worth more, you know, that's just part of the blue blood football system. If you're the point guard at Duke, you're worth more money than the point guard at Alabama. It's just that's the nature of the blue bloods having the name already there and then the kid having the talent and you marrying the two. And I really love your journalistic integrity. I would listen to your editorials and your interviews with other people all day long. I could do without the Feinbaum bracket where, you know, Legend and all these guys come in and they trash talk each other. I mean, that's all. I mean, I know you. That Tammy and these guys built your – I know how they built your brand. But at the same time, your brand was built for me in Birmingham, Alabama, delivering very insightful comments. And your eye to news and your eye to, you know, to seeing a rat and calling it a rat have always been something that spoke to me as a person. And that's what I want to tell you, how much I appreciate you on that end. And I would love more of you and less of the other.
Johnny, thank you. And thanks for remembering my previous life. I appreciate it very, very much. Kevin is calling next. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
Man, I'm a big-time fan of the show. I call all the time. I get the chance to talk to you every once in a while. I just want to kind of chime in on the Jimbo thing, and I hate defending the guy because, I mean, I'm a Gator fan through and through, and I have never been a fan of Jimbo. I agree in some sense NIL played a big part, but let's take a step back and remember that he did something this past year that he hasn't done yet at Texas A&M, which was beat Bama. Not only did he beat Bama, but he beat him with pretty much an unheard-of quarterback. So anytime that you beat a top program like Alabama or Georgia, it's going to do wonders for your recruiting because now they got something to sell on top of the NIL. So, I mean, I think the fact that he finally got that win against Bama played a huge part into the recruiting as well because, I mean, I'm sure you know that beating Georgia, beating Bama, guys like Ohio State and Clemson is going to do something for your recruiting.
Yeah, Kevin, what you said is interesting. That one night in College Station was worth a lot more than some of the sloppy losses that Texas A&M had. Because if you were a recruit and you were there, and I can pretty well bet most of their top recruits were in the house that night, you came away with a memory that you'll never forget.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, sure, NIL deals are going to play a huge part, especially in states like Texas. I mean, the Longhorns, I think, are going to be on their way. And A&M, you know, pulling off victories against Bama this past year is doing wonders for that school. And it's going to continue to be a recruiting beast now, especially if he finds a way to beat him again.
Well said. And I think it's an important story. I asked Jimbo about being the villain the other day, and that's a perception, and I thought Travis did a nice job of trying to answer the perception out there. There is no hard reporting that suggests anything other than they did it within the rules. The question is, what are the rules, and who is there to enforce them? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't really understand the rules, even though they're spelled out. And there is no one there to enforce them. It doesn't. I think every school in the SEC and college football could literally go out with a bucket full of money, pay players left and right, and nothing would ever come of it because there's no infrastructure by the NCAA to manage that. And now the schools are all in on it. So you have to be. Alabama is developing a collective. Georgia has one. A&M has one. Everyone has one. If you don't have one, you're out of business. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jack is in Palm Springs. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. What's up?
Well, just first off, I you're 100% right about some of us have to move on. Things are different than they used to be. But I have two good old recruiting stories that I, because you were talking about it yesterday. John McCabe, when he had USC at the top of the rung, and Bud Wilkinson, one Friday night in Los Angeles, were both at the same high school football game, unbeknownst to each other. And I guess one of them saw the other and went over, sat next to him at into the first quarter and said, hey, Bud, who you here to watch? And so Bud said, oh, I'm watching the quarterback. Obviously not showing his hand. And he said, who are you here watching, John? He said, oh, I'm watching a halfback. And they watched about two more series, and McKay looked up and said, you know, I don't think either one of them are worth the dang. Why don't we go have some cocktails?
So, what a great story.
They both were that way. And then as a Jayhawk, I got to tell you a Jack Mitchell story. Jack Mitchell was a coach at Kansas for a number of years and really good recruiter, not such a good game coach. But, you know, he's, I think, the only guy that held Gale Sayers to under, you know, 100 yards a game rushing. But anyway, he there was a, one of his assistants, Sandy Buddha, was walking down the hall in the building there, and he had two guys with him, one kid they really wanted from Salina and then the kid's best friend that was kind of bumming along on the recruiting trip. So Mitchell sees him, and he starts talking to the other kid. He's confused, and he telling him, you know, you're going to be the best tight end we've ever had, and you'll have three letters here and all this. And so Buddha went in his office afterwards and said, Coach, you were talking to the wrong guy. That's not the guy we want. And he said, oh, what the heck? There's no scholarship limit. We'll take him so K-State won't get him.
That's great. Hey, thank you for sharing the story, Jack, from out in California. You be well. We are heading to the break. A busy show already. Sam Pittman, and we had Travis a minute ago. Griff in the final hour. I said it. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome all of you back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Been a great show with Coach Pittman and Travis Griff later on. Let us check in with Mac, who is up next. Hey, Mac.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, Paul. This is Mac from Rainbow City.
Okay.
I've got a question about the NIL. Now, I am a big Alabama fan. What is to stop Nick Saban, who owns a Mercedes-Benz business, from his business donating money to NIL?
Well, it is interesting that you bring that up. I imagine the business could be involved. I'm guessing that they wouldn't be, though. I think Nick Saban probably realizes that is too much of I don't know about a conflict, but it's a little bit too close for comfort. So, yeah, if his business hired a player to make appearances, I think that would be perfectly legal. Whether Nick Saban would think that's good business or not, maybe another story.
I'll tell you what, Nick, he's above board, but, you know, there's other places that do that, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, but I will tell you, I would be very surprised if Saban got involved. I think he owns that business in Birmingham, and I think he has a piece of one in Nashville. And I don't think he would be in favor of the publicity, even though in Alabama it would be positive. I think he would shy away from that. That's just my gut feeling, knowing Saban.
Absolutely. Good man. most all the coaches are. Thank you, Paul. And
thank you.
Have
besides, I don't think Nick Saban really needs to entice anybody with doing advertisements for a Mercedes. Danny is in Memphis. Hello, Danny.
Hey, Paul.
Thanks hey, Danny.
For taking my call.
Thank you.
And how are you doing today?
Danny, we are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Well, good. I wanted to say some things about Sam Pittman. You know, when he first got that job, you know how happy I was? My right hand gave my left hand a high five. Now,
it's hard to do.
Sam Pittman is a smart man. He's not no dummy. He is not an idiot. He is going to bring this group on. He's already made great strides, but now it ain't about him being a great coach. It's about him getting the recruits everybody else gets. Once his recruiting starts getting those kind of players, oh, he's going to just take off. He's going to take off like a rocket to the moon. These idiots don't understand who Sam Pittman is and how good a coach he is, how loyal he is to his players, how respectful he is to his players, as well as a coach. Sam Pittman has got it going. And I love to hear Sam Pittman talk, as I love to hear you, Paul. And, you know, it's just, I was just so glad to hear that today from Sam Pittman. And you keep your eye on Sam Pittman now. You're talking about A&M? Put Sam down there.
Danny, thank you very much. I appreciate you you saying that. Let's continue with more phone calls here. Frank is in Tennessee. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Frank, we're doing great.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. You know, really enjoy your takes on NIL and transfer portal. I kind of agree with you that if you're not in a Power 5, then you're probably going to die a slow death. My question to you is, do you think they will change the transfer portal? Because, I mean, guys can transfer, I think, up till, you know, the last day you can enroll in a school. Do you think the NCAA will ever change that?
Yeah, I do.
Some kind of brakes on it?
Frank, NIL is not going to be movable. That's a completely separate story. But I think what the NCAA will try to do is at least limit the times that you can transfer. I don't think they can do much more than that. I don't think they can walk it back. But I think they can make periods, like in pro football, where free agency, you know, there's a window. I think that's their best shot. And that way, at least after a certain date, a coach knows this is my roster. I don't have to wait till I don't have to be looking for players on the final day. Hey, thank you very, very much. Steve is up next. Steve, go right ahead. Steve,
can you
there?
Hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead. You're on the air. I'm sorry.
Okay, Paul, I live in Birmingham, and I'm in Shelby County. And did you used to live in Shell Creek?
Yes, I sure did.
Okay. I can't remember the car, because I was with the developer for Greystone.
Oh, okay,
we
sure.
We built Greystone, and we built the cove, Greystone Cove.
Right.
And I used to go over the mountain every day. And I'd wave at a guy in a red, I think it was a red car. Was that
I don't think I had a red car when I lived out there.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was black.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Anyway, I used to wave at a guy every day, every morning.
Well, you were waving to somebody who was probably wondering, why are you waving at me?
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.